intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart, and I know it's Monday, and we normally do science shows on Friday, but I have a breaking news, a press release here that we'll get to in just a moment. You know, you talk to an evolutionist, you debate them, you ask them, what's the best fossil evidence for evolution? And they'll often say whales. They have the transition of whales from land animals to marine creatures. They have that all set. And so it's so funny that I'm looking at a book called Evolution, the Grand Experiment by Dr. Carl Werner. And this is the third edition, revised and expanded. And on page 275, he has a list of which creature, which land-dwelling animal do evolutionists say that whales evolved from? And if you go just recent, 2013, Melbourne Museum, a major leading museum in the world, they said that whales evolved from some kind of a deer-like creature. Deer-like. Same year, 2013, the American Museum of Natural History in Manhattan, New York City, said they evolved from some kind of a lion-like creature, animal. 2 years earlier, Carnegie Museum said whales evolved from some kind of a wolf-like creature. 10 years before that, University of Michigan, whales evolved from maybe some kind of cat-like creature. 2 years before that, 1999, Tokyo Institute of Sciences, whales evolved from some kind of either a hippopotamus or a hippo-like creature. 1 year before that, the California Academy of Sciences, whales evolved from something like a hyena. And they tell you, and the media tells you, and ABC News will tell you, and the BBC will tell you that they have it all figured out. They know what whales have evolved from. And Charles Darwin, he thought that whales evolved from bears. And between him and 1998 with the hyenas in California, they went through a range of different animals. And they still obviously have not a clue because it didn't happen, and they're making it up as they go along. So here's a press release from Dr. Carl Werner. Museum models of walking whales don't match fossils, says filmmaker Dr. Carl Werner. Widespread problem found at top museums. Museums are full of skulls, skeletons, and reconstructions that are documented to be false. So here's a summary of the press release. Two scientists supplied the top museums in the world with fossils, put that in quotes, of walking whales. Now, what museums are we talking about? The American Museum of Natural History in New York City, the Carnegie Museum, Smithsonian, London's Natural History Museum, the National Museum of Nature and Science in Tokyo, and in Melbourne, the Melbourne Museum, and the Canadian Museum of Nature, and in Paris, the Natural History Museum, and so on. In Pisa, the Natural History Museum in Italy. So the world's leading museums have been duped with fossils of walking whales, but it has now been revealed in televised interviews that these fossils were made up. In exclusive interviews with these two scientists, they have admitted on camera that they attached whale body parts like flukes, the back tail, blowholes, or fins to land animals and supplied these altered fossils and diagrams to museums. Because of the serious nature of this story, Dr. Werner has put out a detailed press release. But rather than go through that line by line, what an honor to have here on Real Science Radio, the filmmaker and book researcher, Dr. Carl Werner. Dr. Werner, welcome back to Real Science Radio.
Thank you. And it is an exciting day for scientists who have questioned evolution to see this greatest proof that has been touted for 12, 14 years now, to see it collapse. And to have the scientists who created the evidence themselves to retract it on camera was just an amazing thing. And even today, these fossils are on display, and they're false.
So, Dr. Werner, in your press release, you document everything that you say. And what's so neat is that you take the world's, the famous scientist who has given to the world these alleged transitions to the whale. And they say, while you're interviewing them, that they fabricated the whale aspects of these skeletons. So you start out documenting in your press release that whale evolution is claimed by many Darwinists to be the best example of the fossil record showing evolution.
Yeah, and, you know, that's just not these two scientists saying this. This is the national organizations touting this, and this is what PBS shows when they want to talk about macroevolution. How could we demonstrate evolution? It always goes back to whales evolving from a land animal, going through this walking whales. But it turns out it was all false skeletons.
So could you talk us through how did you first become aware of this and right up to the current documentation and this press release?
Well, many of you are aware that I had done that interview with Dr. Phil Gingrich, which was in our first book.
Yes.
And then the first video, Evolution, a Grand Experiment. And he admitted that he had put the whale tail on Rhodocetus. And I was stunned during the interview. And it only became apparent when you went to the museum to see the fossils, because there was no tail, there was no flippers, and yet the diagram had these on them. And when we asked him, how do you know it had a whale's tail? He basically said, I made it up.
And yeah. And I've watched that video. We've played that video at our church, Denver Bible Church. We've done one or two shows on whale evolution, including with Dr. Jerry Bergman. And we mentioned your work, Carl. And so what amazed me about the Philip Gingrich discovery of Rhodocetus is that he admits that he added these whale-like flippers and the fluke tail and all to this skeleton, but then they found more of the same skeleton. They realized it was not a marine creature. It was a land animal. They found the limbs. And yet evolutionists continued for, I don't know, at least a few years to say Rhodocetus is part of the whale evolution fossil record.
And they still say it too. And yet when they found the front flippers, they weren't flippers, they were actually digitigrade hands, which is what like a pronghorn would have, or a deer when they walk on the tips of their fingers. That's a land animal feature. When they found the digitigrade hands of Rhodocetus, they said, still a whale, still a walking whale. We don't care.
Right. So, in fact, I'm looking at Princeton's website right now, princeton.edu. They have a page on Rhodocetus, and they say one of several whale genera that possess land mammal characteristics. And so just so the audience gets the irony of this, when they found the partial skeleton, they thought, hey, we'll become famous if we say this evolved into a whale. So
that's
they put
right.
whale features on it.
That's right.
Then they found more of the skeleton. They realized that they had completely botched it. So now they've removed the whale features and admit it's a land animal, but they still keep it in the fossil development of the whale.
You can't let it go. Nope.
It's too big to fail.
It's too big to fail, and it's so ridiculous. It's just mind-boggling.
Yes.
Well, you know, after that interview, I thought to myself, you know, there's these other two fossils that are supposed to be like Rhodocetus, walking whales. One was called Ambulocetus.
Yeah.
And I finally got an interview with the scientist who discovered Ambulocetus. And it turns out it's the former student of Dr. Gingrich. It's like the teacher and his student came up with all these fossils. And it was like deja vu, because when I walked into the museum, Bob, in Ohio, northeast Ohio, the fossil was laid out, and same thing. The body parts that were whale body parts on Ambulocetus, there were no fossils. And I asked him during the interview, I said, Doctor, how do you know this animal has a blowhole? Because it has four legs. It looks like a land animal. How do you know it has a blowhole? Because you don't have that part of the snout. And he basically said on camera, you can see this on our website, The Grand Experiment. He said, I don't believe it has a blowhole. But every museum has his skeleton with the blowhole, the Tokyo Museum, the Carnegie, and all the museums.
And Carl, they didn't add the blowhole. He did.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think once you've retracted that idea that you would call up all the museums in total embarrassment and say, oh, my gosh, I think I made a mistake. There shouldn't be a blowhole. Would you send all those skeletons back? But no, it's just like Rhodocetus. It'll never die, even though he admits on camera it doesn't have a blowhole. The Carnegie Museum has this creature walking around with a blowhole halfway up its nose, even though it's a four-legged land animal. It got worse during that interview, and it gets a little bit more technical.
Well, let me ask you this. How in the world did you gain access to the scientist after you eviscerated his mentor, Philip Gingrich? How could it be that they gave you an interview, Dr. Werner?
If I told you that, I'd have to kill you, so I can't. So
all right, don't tell me.
That's a trade secret. No, right. I just told him I was going to do an interview on whale evolution, and he was very cordial about it.
Right.
He just didn't realize that I was going to question everything he said, just process the information he was giving me. And I don't think he realized what he said in this interview, even though he says it on camera.
Right.
It's like,
sure.
Wow.
Right. And so, and normally when evolutionists speak to, whether it's the Corporation for Public Broadcasting or the BBC or even ABC or any network or the Discovery Channel, everything they say, even if they contradict themselves 1 minute after the next, is accepted as gospel. Nothing is questioned. So I think that they're often their guard is down, and you just got him being very candid.
Yep. And, you know, Dr. Gingrich did the same thing now on a third animal called Pachycetus. Now, he appears in this National Geographic show in 2009 about walking whales. And he has this Pachycetus skull that he's showing to the audience, Bob. And yet this skull was made up, too. This is the third animal that we have made up parts. And it has a blowhole on it, too. And yet, in 2001, he realized he had made a mistake, that this animal doesn't have a blowhole, and the skull that he made up with a blowhole, creating this body part for a whale on this four-legged animal, was false. But what does he do with that? He still goes on the National Geographic television show showing this animal with a blowhole in 2009, even though 8 years earlier it had been shown when they found more fossils, that one didn't have a blowhole.
Wow. So we have been reporting on creation evolution issues since I first went on the air in April of 1991, so a long time ago. And during that time, it's been very difficult not to accuse leading evolutionists of intentional deception, because there's so much that they present that just reeks of falsehood, and you should know it's false if you just look at the evidence you're claiming. And so in these instances, you're documenting when the scientists acknowledge that they fabricated these whale features. I would guess that there are over 100 million people who believe that they've seen the fossil evidence that these whale features have been recorded in the fossil record.
Yes, and once they realize their mistake and don't take it down, then it crosses into that F word, that fraud, you know, where people are starting to throw around the word fraud. Like, is it fraudulent for you to make a skeleton in good faith? Okay, that part's acceptable, but it's conjecture. But once you realize it's wrong, is it fraudulent for you to not remove these skeletons?
Well, and even the part in good faith, they would need to say, now, none of these whale features were found in the bone record.
Right.
These we imagined. But that was not made clear from the beginning. And then, like you say, when they realize they were wrong, they still continue to allow their fabricated, their fantasy science to be presented to a gullible public as though it were paleontological data.
And now you have to actually question what is real at these museums, because if you go to the Carnegie or the American Museum and see these full skeletons, say, of Ambulocetus, it looks like the entire skeleton was found, and they just made a copy of it. It turns out that the parts that are the most important, you know, the whale ear and the whale nose, those parts were not recorded as such. And so when you look at the skeleton, it looks complete, but the reality is they don't have fossils of those areas. So what is real at these museums? How do you know? And this would be a very important part to point out. We're not sure about the blowhole because we never found the fossil. But you can't see that on the skeleton. It's all brown. It looks like all brown,
right.
You know,
right.
Skull and fossil. It's terrible.
Right. So on your website, thegrandexperiment.com, in fact, we will link to the video, this latest interview. You also have your press release there.
Yes. And the three interviews where they basically admit that they had put body parts, whale body parts, onto these animals. They admit it on camera. And we didn't have the wherewithal to make another video. We're out of energy. We've got other things we're working on. So
have your Human Evolution Volume 3 that we are, you know, so excited about.
Yes.
And that will be what, a book and a video?
Yes, it'll be a book and a video. And it's spectacular. We just got back from Africa and filming there, the fossils and the interviews there. And we've been all over the world to do the interviews for that one. So just get ready for that one. But it's a ways off, so I don't want to.
Can't wait. Could you just tell me if Skull 1470 is represented in your material?
Well, yes, it is, but not in the first book. And I hate to even get into this.
Yeah, let's not.
We have separated the Human Evolution book into a series. We had to do it in a series, so it's not going to be in the first volume of the Human Evolution series.
Okay, very good. And Dr. Werner, I think the homeschool families listening would love to know that your material is collected into a beautiful homeschool curriculum, a 5-book, 2-DVD, including teacher's guide and parent lesson planner, just a beautiful presentation. And let me tell you, when I got this third edition, Revised and Expanded, and I'm paging through it, Dr. Werner, your book is as fun a book as any book could be. Reading this book, I mean, you have a hard time not just standing up and cheering. It is so exciting.
And when the people read this new third edition about the whale evolution, when they see these interviews, and it just... spectacular.
Yeah.
It's just the collapse of an entire icon of evolution went down with that third edition.
And this icon is big. Whale evolution is like you said at the beginning of this interview, it's when they want evidence to say that we have the proof in fossils that Darwinism is true, they go to the whales so often.
Yes. And it's all phooey, you know. And we even got down to more detailed parts, you know, where they had claimed that they had found whale ear parts on these animals, and then on camera they admitted that they weren't whale ear parts. It's just crazy. Every time you do these interviews, it's like, okay, you said this, but during the interview, you're retracting it. Now, what's going on here, you know?
Right. I'm going to ask you about a couple of funny things on pages 70 and 71 of your book, but first, I made a prediction on the show. We didn't put it in writing. But maybe we should. I think evolutionists have become so obsessed with convergent evolution, where there's astounding similarities in creatures that they say did not have a common ancestor with that feature, like echolocation in bats and whales. Molecular biologists have figured out they have virtual identical genetic coding, virtually identical. And they say, well, it just happened both times independently. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
You can see the similarity between a sperm whale and a bat, can't you?
Yeah. Yes, right. So here's my prediction. They're eventually going to drop that whales evolved from land animals. There's no evidence at all in the fossil record. It's an insane concept. And eventually they're just going to say, it's just convergent evolution. Mammal-like organs evolved in the sea and on land.
Yeah, or they'll say that they came from another ocean creature like sea lions or seals or something. You know, I like it because if you really go through the evidence piece by piece, It has collapsed. There's nothing there for them to hang their hat on, and they're going to really be scratching their heads. You know, and you can't claim a bad fossil record because I think there's something like a million fossil bones of whales. It's an astounding number.
Right, right. The whole fossil record is so comprehensive. Didn't one of the Star Trek movies, they transport a whale to Earth? Maybe it came from outer space. Oh, no, Spock, that was a whale that was on Earth. It was pregnant. Right. Okay, so, Carl, on page 70... you show three animals. It's almost like a Sesame Street thing. Which of these things is not like the others? And you ask, which of these three animals do scientists believe are most closely related? And there are two moles, and then there's a whale. It's the it's the placental mole, the pouched mole, and they look almost identical. And then there's the humpback whale. And so I got the answer because I have your book here, but could you tell the audience?
Well, an evolution scientist would say two moles that look exactly the same, but one is a marsupial mole from Australia. They look exactly the same. You can't distinguish it unless you turn them over. That those are not closely related, but actually the two closest animal would be the mole from the United States and the whale, the humpback whale. Those would be the two closest animals.
So the whale and the mole are close on Darwin's tree of life, and the other mole is way on the other side of the
unrelated
tree.
Don't even get those confused, Bob.
Yeah, right. And then forget about the mole. Let's talk about the mouse, because there are different kinds of mice. And you have, on the next page, you have which of these three animals do scientists believe are most closely related? The placental mouse, the marsupial mouse, and the horse. And so lo and behold, it's the horse and the placental mouse. And they say the horse is closer to that mouse than is the other mouse.
That's right. And don't think that one mouse is related to another mouse. That's completely wrong, Bob.
Right.
It's the horse that's related to the mouse.
Right. So we did a fun show on this called Genomes That Just Don't Fit on Real Science Radio. And so I think we stole some of your material for that show.
Oh, well, I am so glad. And I would have loved to heard that. Who did the genetics part? Do you remember?
Fred Williams and I, my co-host, all we do, Carl, is we cherry pick the best of the best.
You betcha.
We go to your material. We go to Jonathan Sarfati, Dr. Walt Brown. We get the best of the best, and we present it to our audience, the evidence for God as our creator.
Oh, it sounds so good. Just take the best, you know, and don't get too bogged down in details where people get confused. Just listen to the overall story is so crazy. It tells you that evolution can't be true.
Well, Darwin said that if you find similar organs and designs in organisms, that's evidence that they've evolved from one another or a common ancestor. Yet you're listing like eye rings in wildly diverging creatures that evolutionists say did not have common ancestors with eye rings.
That's right.
And so the whole concept that was used to promote the theory has fallen apart.
Yep, the concept that an animal is related to another animal because it has similar body parts, that concept does not flow because you have other animals that are similar that can't be related.
Right. So if an evolutionist wants to say, well, this creature evolved into that creature to promote his story, he might look at the fossils. But if they don't help him because they might be out of sequence or something, then he might look at the anatomy and say, well, look, these parts look, they both have five digits. But if that doesn't help him, then he could look at the DNA. If that doesn't look at him, then he could look at the RNA or proteins or mitochondrial DNA. They have such a bag of tricks to pull out of.
Yes.
They choose to use or neglect any class of evidence so that it will support their theory, which then, even if it's wrong, becomes unfalsifiable.
That's exactly right. For example, if they want to prove two animals are similar, let's look at the DNA of the two animals and look at the DNA for red blood cells.
Right.
Well, you might find two animals that do have similar DNA in the red blood cells. So you could use that for your proof. Or if that doesn't work, like you said, find a little different section of DNA that's part of the retina of the two animals.
Right.
Oh, look, they're so similar. This proves our case. You are exactly right, Bob Enyart.
They
can just pull from this bag of tricks. If it's not the fossils, if it's not the layering, if it's not the anatomy, it's not the DNA, it's the proteins. Yep, you are right.
Well, Carl Werner, the curtain is being pulled back because your videos, which are just as high quality as your books, which, by the way, people could get from us at realscienceradio.com. Just click on the store. Carl, your documentaries have now aired beyond the U.S., right?
Oh, yes. They've been have played in 70 countries now.
70 countries around the world. And it must be playing to audiences that are stunned, because when we showed this at Denver Bible Church to our adult Sunday school class, even though our church is pretty well educated on the creation evolution battle, our church members were stunned to see the extent of the deception in what is presented for evolution in our museums.
You mean when National Geographic knew that they had a fraudulent fossil, but when they went ahead and published it anyway?
Exactly.
That kind of fraud?
Yeah, that and so many examples, and like the ones we just started talking about with the whale. So, Dr. Carl Werner, thank you so much for your life's work, and your wife, too. Will you thank her for us for
being the photographer,
videographer?
Yep, she is the lifeline for this project. She does the work, and I just get the credit, you know?
Debbie Werner. Well, what an honor. Thank you, Carl Werner. We look forward to your next project.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That was Dr. Carl Werner here on Real Science Radio. He's been on the show once or twice before. Look for previous programs. We'll link to those also at realscienceradio.com. Our store, if you enjoy our science materials or our theology or debates, please go to our store. And when you purchase them, not only do you get first-rate, top-quality educational and fun materials to benefit you and your family, but you help us stay on the air here at Bob Enyart Live and Real Science Radio. Oh, yeah, and you could get a pre-release copy of our Flood Seminar on DVD. It's what? It's 8 days from shipping now. The pre-release copy, it is $50 for a 2-DVD set, but we think you'll love it, and you'll be able to provide editorial input. Give us your input, and it might make it into the final production. God bless you guys.